Okay, today's daf is Yomama's daf Kuf Yud Ches. The rabbi left off yesterday, Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, at the Mishnah toward the bottom of the Amud. Today we're going to endeavor to finish the Perek, and we are going to cover a number of entities. First of all, the shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. So yesterday we started talking about, we saw the Mishnah rather, with a whole bunch of women who are not believed to testify that a person died, even though ordinarily we do see that we are very lax in terms of the testimony that we accept that somebody died, and that's all Mishum Takana Saguno, so that the wife should be able to remarry. There are certain people who are not going to be believed to testify that somebody's husband died. And the reason is because we're afraid that really the woman who's testifying or the person who's testifying is out to destroy the woman whose husband the testimony is about. So one of the examples that we saw yesterday in the Mishnah is a tzara. So if you have a co-wife, so one co-wife is not able to testify as to the status of the husband because in order to permit the other co-wife to get married, because we saw that the co-wives hate each other because they have a very contentious relationship, which is understandable. And therefore, the co-wife, we're afraid, is not really giving valid testimony, not truthful testimony about the status of the husband. Rather, the co-wife is testifying that the husband dies because she wants her co-wife to go get remarried on the basis of that testimony. Then the husband's going to show up, and the woman who got remarried on the basis of the testimony is going to be in a world of hurt. So the first mission that we're going to see on today's daf, the mission on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, is going to talk about what happens if you have two co-wives who are both testifying about the death of their common husband. So are they allowed to get remarried? Are the co-wives allowed to get remarried based on the testimony? What exactly is the story with that? Does it matter what the other co-wife says? What if the other co-wife admits that the husband died, but testifies that he died under different circumstances? So that's what the first mishnah is going to cover. We're then going to cover a case of when a woman comes and testifies that her husband died, and she also has a co-wife. So again, we're going to believe her testimony as to herself. As to she herself, we're going to believe her testimony. We're going to let her get remarried. As to the co-wife, we're not going to believe her testimony. But the question is, to what extent are we not going to believe her testimony regarding the co-wife? For example, let's say the common husband was a Kohen, and the co-wife was a Bas Yisrael. So long as the husband is alive, the co-wife is allowed to eat truma because she's married to a Kohen. So if the co-wife testifies, why don't we call it the wife? Otherwise, it's too complicated. If the wife testifies that the husband is dead, so she's allowed to get remarried, the co-wife, as to whom we do not accept the testimony of the wife, is she allowed to continue eating truma on the basis that the husband is really alive? In other words, is it that we don't believe the wife so that the co-wife can't get remarried on the basis of the testimony? Or do we mamish proceed under the assumption that the husband is still alive? So that's what the next mission that we're going to cover in today's daf is going to deal with. We're then going to talk about a situation where a person gave kedushin, or if a person stole from five different people and he doesn't know which one he gave the kedushin to or which one he stole from. Not the most romantic way to propose, but okay, that's what the Mishnah talks about. So the question is, what does he do in order to make sure that he's doing the Yashras Dika thing? Like, because he has to pay Iksuba to people. He has to do Veheshavas Agzela. He has to do Ashavas Agzela, but he doesn't know who he stole from. So the question is, what does he do? And does it matter whether we're talking about whether the guy did Kedushin or whether he was actually Boel five women? Whether he stole or whether he bought something and he doesn't know who he has to pay? So we're going to see that. And then the last Mishnah in the Daf and in the Perek is going to talk about a woman who goes with her husband and her son to Medina Sayyam and then testifies not only as to the status of the husband, but also the status of the son. And whether she had a son when the husband died is going to drive whether she is roi for Yibum or not. And we're going to see in what situations and on what conditions her testimony may or may not be accepted. All right, so again, long introduction. So with apologies, Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the Mishnah, a couple of lines up from the bottom of the Amud, says the Mishnah as follows. Achas omeres meis, v'achas omeres lo meis. So if one of them said that the husband died and one of them said that the husband did not die. In other words, Rashi points out, we're dealing with two co-wives. So wife A came back and testified, my husband died. Wife B came back and testified, no, he didn't, he's still alive. Tzuzusha meres meis tinasev yitzitol ksubasa. So the one who testified, wife A, who testified that the husband died, she can get remarried and she can collect her ksuba, because again, we believe a woman to testify that her husband died. Tzuzusha meres lo meis lo tinasev lo titol ksubasa. And the one who testified that the husband didn't die is not allowed to get remarried. She doesn't collect her ksuba. Why not? Because she herself said that the husband didn't die. I, wife A, said that the husband did die, but wife A is a co-wife of wife B, and the testimony of a co-wife, as we saw in the Mishnah yesterday, is not valid in order to permit her to get remarried. So that is the reason for that. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah rather, next case. Achas omeres meis, v'achas omeres nerag. One says that he died, the other said he was killed. So they both agree that he's no longer here. So Rav Meir Omar Hol Machisha Zu Azu Hareilu Lo Yinasu. So Rav Meir says that because the co-wives are being machish one another, they may not get remarried on the basis of their testimony. So the Gemara is going to ask, where was Rav Meir in the Reisha of the Mishnah? And Rav Meir in the Reisha of the Mishnah, one of them said he died. One of them said he didn't die. L'chora, there's no greater hakasha, there's no greater contradiction than that, yet Rav Meir permitted the one who testified that he died to get remarried on the basis of that testimony, even though there was contradictory testimony. So Rav Meir's statement that the testimony contradicts each other implies that we are going to accept, in some respect, in some manner, the testimony of a co-wife. Otherwise, if the testimony of a co-wife is simply invalid, we wouldn't care that the testimony is machish each other, because we don't pay any attention to what the co-wife says. So Rav Meir obviously does pay some attention to what the co-wife says. Therefore, we're going to ask in the Gemara, where was Rav Meir in the Reisha of the Mishnah? Why was he asleep at the switch and not arguing in the Reisha? So again, Rav Meir says that the women are not allowed to get remarried because their Eidos is somewhat contradictory. Rav Shimon say, hol vizu, modos, shein kayam, inasu. What does it matter the circumstances under which the guy allegedly died? He's not here. That's the bottom line. They both agree that he's not here. Therefore, they're both able to get remarried because both of them say that they're eligible to get remarried. Eidachad meis, veidachad veidomar lomeis. If one says that, if one witness testifies that the husband is dead, the other witness testifies that the husband is not dead. Isha meres meis, visha meres lomeis. Or if one woman, in other words, not the wives, but one stam woman says, because again, we accept the edus of a woman, the edus of an isha, in order to be matir, a woman to get remarried, mishum takana seguno. So if you have one woman who says that he's dead, and one woman who says that he's not dead, harezu lo tinase. They may not get married. Why not? Rashi points out, because hoil ubasa shnia kodem shiatiru al pirishona, that it's since the second witness who came to testify that the husband is not dead came and delivered her testimony before we were formally matir, the wife, to get remarried on the basis of the testimony of the first woman aid, afilu shnia zutsarasa osrasa. Even if the second aid is the tsara, we're going to accept the testimony. If a gemara mabina lalahai stomach Rav Meir, damar tsarasa nami machashala. Now Rashi points out, we're obviously going according to the shita of Rav Meir, who says that the tsara has the ability to testify regarding the common husband, even against the co-wife, even against her co-wife, because if not, and the second woman who came to testify lo meis was the tzara, we obviously wouldn't agree, we wouldn't listen to her testimony according to the Tanna Kamma. It's only according to Rav Meir that we're going to listen to the testimony of the tzara altogether. Okay, so says the Gemara in Avaiter. So again, the first case in the Mishnah was where one of them says, wife A says that the husband died, and wife B said that the husband didn't die. So taima d'amar lo meis. So the reason that wife B is not allowed to get remarried is because she herself testified that he didn't die, and therefore she basically said, she admitted, I'm not allowed to get remarried. So time of Damri Lomais. Ha ishtik or ishtika. However, if she was quiet, Tinase, then the mashmos is that she would be able to get remarried. She would be able to get remarried on the basis of the testimony of wife A, who is her co-wife. So that implies that we are going to accept the testimony of a co-wife. So, but I thought the halacha was that a tzara, we saw yesterday in the Mishnah, that a tzara is not believed to testify as to the status of the co-wife. Yet the implication in our Mishnah is the only reason why the co-wife's not allowed to get remarried is because she herself said that he didn't die. If she were quiet, it's mashma that she would be able to get remarried on the basis of the testimony of the tzara. So these Mishnayis seem to contradict each other. Says the Gemara, no, lo meisa trichale. No. The halacha would apply even if she were quiet, because she is never able to get remarried on the basis of the testimony of her tzara. But we need the case. We need to be taught the case of lo meis. Salka daita chamina hamayis. I might say that really the wife who testifies that the husband is alive really believes that the husband is dead. And the reason that she says lo meis is lo kukule lesara hi the kamechavna tamas nafsha implishtim kamra. And I might think when the woman testifies that the husband is alive, really she means that he's dead. The reason that she's testifying that he's alive is because she wants to prevent the co-wife from getting married. By preventing the co-wife from getting married, she herself is preventing herself from getting married, so she's like literally nuts. In other words, she is just, she is throwing herself literally under the bus in order to harm her co-wife, but I might think that's what she's doing. So when the woman testifies lo meis, really she means that yes meis, and therefore we should believe the testimony that the guy is actually dead. Kamash balan, that we don't assume that when she says lo meis, she actually means meis, and therefore lo meis is considered a hakasha. But says the Gemara, so too would the halacha be even when she's quiet. In other words, even when the second wife is quiet, the second wife would never be able to get remarried on the basis of the testimony of the first wife, because of the halacha that we saw in the Mishnah that we covered yesterday, which is that a tzara is not believed to testify on her co-wife. Okay. Says the Gemara now as follows. Two dots. Echas omeres meis. Says the Gemara, v'liflog Rav Meir Bereisha. So the Gemara asked the question that we predicted, that we forecasted when we learned the Mishnah. Where was Rav Meir in the Reisha of the Mishnah? Again, Rav Meir is the one who says that Ho'olam Achisha Zua Zua Reilu Yinase. If one of them says that he died, one of them said Nerag, he was killed, Rav Meir all of a sudden says that we pay attention to the testimony of the co-wives in that we are bothered that the testimony is contradictory. Yet in the Reisha of the Mishnah, Rav Meir says that that we don't pay attention to the testimony of the co-wife, because the wife who testifies that the husband is dead is allowed to get remarried. The other wife testified that he's not dead. The other wife testified that he's not dead, yet we don't pay attention. So where was Rav Meir in the Reisha of the Mishnah? So v'liflag Rav Meir b'Reisha, some Rav Elazar b'machlokesh, nuyev Rav Yehuda Rav Shimoni, enechinami, that Rav Meir does argue in the Reisha of the Mishnah. The Reisha, which implies that we don't pay any heed to the testimony of the co-wife whatsoever, that is going like Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. But in a Hanami, Rav Meir himself, for his own right, would argue. Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu Tamer Rav Meir. So even says Rav Yochanan, no, even Rav Meir, Baha Afilu Rav Meir Modeh. Over here, even Rav Meir would be Modeh, that we are not going to pay any attention to the testimony of the co-wife. The cholo meis beidus isha lav hakashahi. Because any statement of lo meis by an eidus isha is not considered to be a hakasha. Why? But Rashi explains the rabbanan heminua lekama, because the rabbanan, the chachamim, believe the first woman. And this is all because of takonas agunos, because when a woman says that my husband died, the chachamim permit her to get remarried, and therefore the first woman is going to be believed like two witnesses. Says the Gemara Navaiter, Tanan, Eid Omer Meis, Veid Omer Lo Meis, if you have one witness, one real legitimate witness who comes and testifies that the husband is dead, one legitimate witness testifies that the husband is not dead. Isha Meres Meis, Visha Meres Lo Meis, if one woman says that the husband is dead, the other woman said that the husband is not dead, and we saw in Rashi, even if the second woman who says Lo Meis is the Tzara, Harezu Lo Tinase. So I understand, according to Rav Elazar, this is like Rav Meir. In other words, it's some like Rav Meir, because Rav Meir says we believe the testimony of the co-wife in order to be machish, the first woman. And therefore, even if the woman who testifies lo meis is the co-wife, she could still cause a problem to the first wife. So it's like Rav Meir, Elul Rav Yochanan Kasha. But according to Rav Yochanan, who is this like? Because in other words, you need to explain that this Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, But Rav Yochanan can't explain that way. Therefore, it's going to be a kasha. It happens to be there's a machlokas rishonim whether the halacha is like Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon who say that the edus of the tzara is not mekubeles at all, is not accepted at all, or if the halacha is like Rav Meir who says that we do pay attention to the edus of the tzara in certain circumstances. Okay, says the next Mishnah now in the middle of Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So, Ha'isha Shal Chayu Ba'ala Medina Sayyam. If a woman goes with her husband to Medina Sayyam, Uba V'yamra Meis Bali, and she says that the husband died, Satinasa V'titol Ksubasa, so she could get remarried, she could collect her Ksuba, V'tsarasa Asura, and her Tsara is going to be Asur to get remarried. Why? Because we never believe a woman to be made on her Tsara, and even after she gets remarried, we still don't believe her testimony legabe detzara that the husband is dead, because we might think, all right, so she's now testifying stam that the husband is dead. So let's wait and see what she does. If she actually gets remarried, then she legitimately believed that the husband is dead. So maybe in that case, the testimony should be valid even for the tzara. Kamash v'lan, no, because we're afraid that she's going to behave in a way that's tamas nafshi implished him, that she's going to behave in a way that she's literally going to throw herself under the bus in order to cause ruin to her co-wife, and therefore we don't believe the testimony of a woman legabe detzara at all. Now, Haisa Bas Yisrael a Kohen, if the Tzara was a Bas Yisrael who was married to a Kohen, in other words, the husband who woman A, who wife A testified is dead, and wife B is also married to, was a Kohen. And that's why the Tzara was able to eat Truma. Tochal B'Truma, Divri Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says that the woman is allowed to eat Truma, meaning that the husband is in a chazaka that he is still alive, and we don't believe the testimony of the co-wife, not only to permit her to get remarried, but even to take away the right to eat truma, because we do not believe the testimony of the co-wife one iota, says Rav Tarfon. Rav Kim Omer, Ein zu derech motziya midei avera. Well, this is not the right thing to do. Ad shetei asura li nase, vasura melecha betruma. Really, she's in a catch-22. She is in a she's unable to get remarried because we don't accept the testimony of the co-wife. But we have to believe it a little. So, in other words, the woman did say that the husband is dead. So we're not allowed to assume. We're not permitted to assume that the husband is mamish alive, so that the wife is allowed to eat truma on the basis of the fact that the husband is alive. So she's in a little bit of a conundrum. There is a suffek in Tosfos whether we're dealing with only truma midrabanan or even truma midaraisa, that she is... in other words, are we dealing only that she's not allowed to eat truma daraisa, but what if there's truma drabanan? Is she allowed to eat that? But either way, Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Kiva disagrees with Rabbi Tarfon, whereas Rabbi Tarfon says that we totally discount the edus of the tzara. So just like she's not allowed to get remarried, so too she's still allowed to eat truma if the husband was a kohen. Rabbi Kiva will say, no, she's not allowed to eat truma. She's in a little bit of a conundrum. She's in a bind. So Amra, meis ba'li, v'akachach meis chami. If she testifies, if you have a woman testifies that the husband died, and after the husband died, her father-in-law died. Now, we saw yesterday in the Mishnah that one of the women who is ineligible to testify on another woman is a daughter-in-law regarding a mother-in-law or a mother-in-law regarding a daughter-in-law because they also have contentious or they're assumed to have contentious relationships. So the question is, what if she says, first my husband died and then my father-in-law died? Meaning, at the time that she's testifying that her father-in-law died, according to her, he was no longer really, there was no longer any relationship between her and her mother-in-law because the husband predeceased the father-in-law. So says the Mishnah, said she can get remarried and she can accept her ksuba, v'chamosa asura, and her mother-in-law is going to be usher to get remarried because a daughter-in-law cannot testify as to her mother-in-law, and this holds true even though she claimed that the mother-in-law-daughter-in-law relationship was severed first because her husband was the first to die. Because we do not listen to the testimony of a daughter-in-law, even a daughter-in-law who purports to be a former daughter-in-law at all. Now, Haisa Bas Yisrael LeKohen, if the mother-in-law was a Bas Yisrael who was married to a Kohen, in other words, if the father-in-law of this woman was a Kohen, Tocha B'Truma, she could eat Truma, Dibur Reb Tarfon. In other words, Reb Tarfon, it's the same Shita, consistent, that Reb Tarfon says, if we're not accepting the testimony of a woman, we are not going to accept it at all. In other words, just like the woman is not allowed to get remarried on the testimony of the co-wife or on the testimony of the daughter-in-law, so too, the co-wife or the daughter-in-law doesn't have the capacity to aser her from eating truma if the allegedly dead husband was a Kohen, because he has a chazaka that he was alive. And Rav Kiva also comes with a consistent shita. No, the right way, if we're mesupak, if we don't know what to do, the right thing to do is that she's not able to get remarried, and also she is not able to eat truma. So it appears that we have the same case in the Mishnah repeated twice, once regarding a co-wife and once regarding a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. We have the exact same machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara asks, why do we need these two cases? Vitzricha, and we need both cases, says the Gemara. Diat marach kamaisa, because if you only would have taught us the first case, bahakama Rabbi Tarfon, in that case, Rabbi Tarfon says that the woman is allowed to eat, the co-wife is allowed to eat truma, because we mamish don't believe the testimony of the co-wife one iota, vichrab datsori to gufa, because they are real rivals. I mean, they are really rivals. They're married to the same guy, and they're vying for his attention. Havel kamosa datsora mili de alma, but by a mother-in-law, like, they don't really live together. How big a tsara really is she to her? Like, how big a rivalry really is there? It's more emotional. It's a little bit more removed. Ema modele le Rabbi Akiva. Maybe he'll agree to Rabbi Akiva that we don't thoroughly discount that testimony. Vietmar Baha, and if we only would have had in the second case, Balkam Rabbi Akiva, maybe Rabbi Akiva would have said that we don't believe the testimony at all in the second case. Ava Bahachim Amodele the Rabbi Tarfon Sricha. But in the first case, maybe he would agree to Rabbi Tarfon, but that we don't believe the testimony of the co-wife at all because they're mamish rivals, Sricha. Therefore, we need both of these cases. Okay, so says the Gemara now. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha K'Rabbi Tarfon. The Halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon, that the co-wife or the mother-in-law is allowed to eat truma because we don't pay any attention to the edus, and the husband has a chazaka that is alive, and therefore the woman's allowed to proceed under the assumption that the husband is alive, and she's even allowed to eat truma. So Amar Rabaya Afana Nami Tanina. We also have a brisa like this. If a woman says that a child was born to me in Medina Sayam, if my child died and then my husband died, then she is believed and she is able to do yibum with the brother's wife. The reason that she's believed is because when she went to Medina Sayam, she was already muchsuk to do yibum because she went to Medina Sayam without any kids. So if she's the one who says that she had a kid, then she is the Pesha Asar. We only know through her that she was ineligible to perform Yibam for a certain amount of time. But then she says, oh, but my son predeceased my husband. So therefore now she's the Pesha Hitter. Because she at first said she was ineligible for Yibam. Then she comes back and says, now I'm again eligible for Yibam. But nothing changes that Chazaka that she left with. The Chazaka that she left with was that she was Ru'uya for Yibam. Bali Vachar kach bini. However, if she claims that the husband died and first, and then that the child died, ein ne'emenes, then she's not going to be believed because again she has a chazaka that when she left, she was fit for yibum. And Rashi says ein ne'emenes that she is not going to be believed li nasei l'shuk b'lo chalitza, to get married to somebody else, to stam a man without doing chalitza, d'chi amnua rabbanon l'isha b'ilohem nua. Because when the Chachamim believe the testimony of a woman, the Takonas Agunos, to believe this testimony, was only legabe your husband, the daiko mitzvah, because she's going to do her due diligence, she's going to do her research, a thorough investigation, and on that basis, she's going to get remarried. Avala fuke nafsha miyavam lo emnua the zimna the sunile. But we're not going to believe her testimony in order to remove her, make her ineligible from doing yibam, because we're afraid that therefore she's going to lie, because sometimes she hates the yavam, and that's why she's trying to testify in a way that's going to kick her out of eligibility to do yibam. And that's why if she testifies first her husband died, then her son died, since she was muchsuk to do yibam, she's not believed to testify to change that status. However, we're choshes for her words, and therefore she requires chalitza, but she can't be taken in yiba. So says the Gemara, we are afraid for her words. However, we're not afraid for her tzara's words. So that is the raya that we don't pay any attention whatsoever to the testimony of the tzara, like the shita of Rabbi Tarfon. And therefore, if the tzara comes and testifies that if a woman testifies that her husband died, then she's allowed to get remarried on the basis of the testimony. But legabe her tzara, the testimony is totally worthless, and therefore the tzara not only is not allowed to get remarried, but if the husband was a kohen, the tzara is allowed to continue eating truma on the basis that she's still married to a kohen, because the chazaka, when they all left, was that the husband was still alive. Okay, says the Mishnah on the top of Kufkid Chasam Abayz. So kiddush achas mechamesh nashim v'ni yadea ezo kiddush. So if a guy gave kiddushin to five women and he doesn't know which one he gave kiddushin to, so kol achas omeres osi kiddush, and each of them say, oh, he was mekadesh me. So they were all fighting over which one he actually gave kiddushin to. So nosa get l'kol echa v'echad, that he has to give a get to each one, because there's a suffix that there was a kiddushin with each one. So he gives a get me suffix to each woman. And maniach ksuba b'neim u'mistalek. And does he have to pay each of them a ksuba? Says the Mishnah, no. He just leaves one big ksuba in the middle, and then he can, you know, he can leave town. And the Rishonim explained that what it means is he doesn't literally... It's not like it's not like a game where he puts the ksuba and then they're all like a reality show where they're all fighting to collect the money. He gives it to Basin, and Basin does an investigation. They try to figure out which one is most likely that he actually had kiddushin with. But the point is, he only has to pay one ksuba. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. That's Rabbi Tarfon Shita. Rabbi Kiva Omer. Again, we have a machlokas. It's Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, Enzu derech matsiyam ide avera, achiita and get to ksuba lechol echad vechad. No, this is not the right thing to do. If you want to do the right thing is just like you have to give a get to each of these women, because there's a suffix that you had kedushin with this woman. So too, you have to give a ksuba to each of the women, because there is a suffix that you had kedushin with each of the women. A very similar case. Gozal echad mechamisha. If you stole from one of five people, v'ni adem eza gozal, but you don't know which one you stole from, they all claim that you stole from them. Kol echad omer osi gozal, so meniach zeylam b'neim umistalek. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, you only have to return... There's one mitzvah of Eishav Esagzela. So you return the stolen item and collectively in front of all them, and then you could wash your hands of it. Then you could leave. You don't have to do anything after that. However, Rabbi Kivomer Einzu Derech Matsiyim Edei Avera. No, this is not the right thing to do. Ad sheyishalem lechol echad veechad, until you pay each and every person. Just like in the Reisha, Rabbi Kiva made you pay the ksuba to each of the women that you had suffered kedushin with, so too in the Seifa of the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva is going to make you be meshev the gzela to each of the people whom you potentially stole from. Says the Gemara as follows. So the Gemara is medayik. Kiddush k'tani baal lo k'tani. It says if you were mekadesh one of five women, but you don't know which one you did kedushin to, it's in that case, explains Rashi, that Rabbi Tarfon says you're allowed to put the ksuba between them, and you're allowed to, and then you're allowed to leave town because you didn't do a maisa. But if Baal, but if he actually did bia, if he actually had bia with one of the women, then Rabbi Tarfon would not agree with that. Rabbi Tarfon would not hold the shita. The kivan dasa ba maisa vagina osam bekdushe bia tzorich lotzias when bidei avera valitin lekulan. Rabbi Tarfon said, since you actually did a maisa, you did a maisa bia, you're going to have to make sure that you're treating each of these women appropriately. You're going to have to make sure that you're giving an actual ksuba to each of the women. Now, so that's the diuk in the ratio of the mission, that we're talking, the only time Rav Tarfon says you could get away with paying one ksuba is where you did kedushin, but not where you did an actual maisa bia. Gazal k'tani, lokach loktani. It also says in the Seifa that the situation is where you stole from five people. However, where you bought from five people, where you bought from one of five people, but you don't know who you bought the item from, then Rabbi Kiva wouldn't necessarily say that you have to pay each of the five people. In other words, what the Gemara is trying to isolate the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon, saying that Rabbi Tarfon only says that you're allowed to put the item in front of the collective and then just leave town, only when you didn't do anything that bad, or you didn't do anything that significant. And on the flip side, in the Seifa, what the Gemara is trying to say is that Rabbi Kiva says that Rabbi Kiva only says that you have to pay each of the people only when you did something real bad, not when you stam, like you bought something in the shuk and you don't remember which nut vendor or which fruit vendor you bought from, that you didn't do anything real bad. So in that situation, maybe Rabbi Kiva would agree that you could just put the Dmei Mekach in front of them and you can wash your hands of the situation. So says the Gemara, so money must nisen, lo Tanakama, v'lo Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. However, our Mishnah in that case is not like the Tanakama, nor is it like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the Tanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says like this, lo nechluku Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Kiva, al shekidesh echaz mechamisha anasim, that Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva do not argue in a case where you were gave kiddushin to one of five women, and you don't know which one of the women you gave kiddushin to, that you're allowed to just leave one ksuba there in payment, and then you're allowed to leave town. When do they argue al shebaal? That they only argue where you actually did a bia. Rabbi Tarfon Omer meniach ksuba b'neim u'mistalek. Rabbi Tarfon, even in that case, which is not the way we said at first in the Gemara, even in that case, Rabbi Tarfon would say you're still allowed to put one ksuba there in payment of all them, and then you're allowed to wash your hands of it. Rabbi Kiva Omer achi yishalem l'chol achas v'achas. Rabbi Kiva says that you're allowed to that you have to pay each and every one. And lo nechleku Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Kiva al shelokach mekach mechamisha bnei adam. They don't argue where you bought something from five people. Veni adam ezam lokach, and you don't know which one you bought from. Sheminiach demei mekach b'neim mistalek, that you're allowed to just put the purchase price in between them, and you're allowed to wash your hands of the situation. Lo nechleku ela shegazal. They're arguing only when there was an actual theft. That Rabbi Tarfon says that you're allowed to put the gzela in between them, and you're allowed to leave town. You're allowed to wash your hands from the situation. Rabbi Kiva Omer Achi Shalim Gzela L'chol Echad VeEchad. That you're not sort of absolved from the situation until you pay each and every person. So Midikama Rav Shimon Ben Elazar Bekidesh. Vilakach lo pligi. So from the fact that Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that in the case of Kidesh, where he did nothing wrong, or Lakach, where again he did nothing wrong, lo pligi, everybody agrees that you're just allowed to pay once and be done with it. Michlal de Tanakama Savar pligi. So it's mashma that Tanakama says that they believe even in those cases. So money. So who's the case? E Tanakama lisni Kidesh vilakach. If it's the Tanakama who says that they argue even where the guy didn't really do anything wrong, even in that case, Rabbi Kiva is going to say that you can only absolve yourself from any liability if you go pay everybody. So why are we arguing about Kiddush on the one end and Gozal on the other end, where it's mashma that Rabbi Kiva only says that you have to pay all five people when you really did something wrong, like you stole? Let them argue in both cases where they didn't do anything wrong. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, and if it's Rabbi Shimon Elazar who says that they only argue in a case where they did something wrong, so listen, Baal v'gazal. So why don't we talk about a case of Baal where you gave kedushin to a woman, where you actually had bia with a woman, and the seifa and gazal? Because even in that case, Rabbi Tarfon would say that you only have to pay once, and Rabbi Kiva would say that you have to pay everybody. Says the Gemara, Liolam Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Really, it's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Well, my Kidesh, the I in the ratio, why do we talk about a case of Kidesh? Because Kidesh b'bia. So, because we're talking about a case where you did Kiddushin with Bia. So, Tana Kiddush, and the reason that we say Kiddush is Liadiach HaKocho de Rabbi Akiva, to explain the strength of Rabbi Akiva's Shita. Why? The Afal Gav, the Surah, the Rabbanan of it, Kanas. because even though all he did was violate an Isser Midrabanan, in other words, we had said that Kiddush is Kiddushin Bebiya. So why is that an Isser Midrabanan? Because there's a famous Gemara, Maseches Kedushin, Rav Mangid Aman de Mekadesh Bebiya. Because Rav would give Malkus Mardus, he would give Makus Midrabanan to people who would be Mekadesh Bebiya. Even though you could do Kedushin through three ways, these are Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. It's not appropriate to do Kiddush with Bia, and therefore Rav would give Makus to Rabbanan, Makus Mardus, to anybody who would be Mekadesh Bebiya. So the point is that Rabbi Kiva is so into giving a knas to people who don't act properly, he's going to give a knas even to people who only violate that Isser Midrabanan of being Mekadesh Bebiya. So Avagav the Isser Midrabanan of it Kanas, Tana Gaza Ladiach HaKochad Rabbi Tarfon, and yet in the Seifa, we talk about a case of Gozal to explain the strength of the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon. The Afagav, the Surei Daraisa of Ed Lokanas, that even though he did an Isser Daraisa, we are not going to give a Knas. So it turns out that there is a Machlokas, so the Lamaskana, there is a Machlokas, even when you did something wrong, Rabbi Tarfon will allow you to get away with paying only once. Rabbi Kiva is going to give you a Knas and say that you have to pay multiple times. And that Shita of Rabbi Kiva is so strong that it applies not only when you did something wrong on a Daraisa level, but even when you did something wrong on a Drabanan level. However, where you did nothing wrong, then Rabbi Kiva would be moda that you're allowed to put the single payment in front of all of them, and you're allowed to leave. You're allowed to wash your hands in that manner, because again, this is all a knas, according to Rabbi Kiva. So the fundamental machlokas, Rabbi Tarfon never imposes the knas. Rabbi Kiva does impose the knas, even when you only did something wrong on a Drabanan level. But the predicate is that you did something wrong. It's got to be at least on a Drabanan level. If you did nothing wrong, then Rabbi Kiva would say there is no basis for a knas. Okay, last Mishnah in the Perek. Says the Mishnah as follows. Yisha shalcha hiya baila medina sayam. You have a woman who goes with her husband to the medina sayam, uvna imahen, and their son is with him. Ubas of yamra, and she comes and says, meiz baali, vechakach meiz bini ne'menes, that she says, first my husband died, and then my son died, so she's going to be believed, and she's not going to require yibam, because the chazaka, when she went, is that she is mutaras lashuk. The chazaka is that she was not standing for yibam, because when she went to Medina Sayam, she was married with a child. So, and we point out that the pes sha'asar hua pes shehiter, because there was a chazaka that she had a child, and therefore she was not eligible for yibam anyway. So she's the one who told us that her child died, which would have potentially made her eligible for yibam, but she's also the one who told us that her child died after her husband died. And therefore, she's believed that because it's consistent with the chazaka that she was not roi for yibam when she left, therefore she's going to be believed. Meis b'ni v'akakach meis b'ali, if she's trying to testify and position herself so that she's eligible for yibam, then einan emenes. Because again, the chazaka was that she is not fit for yibam, because when she went to Medina Sayam, she had a kid. However, we are choshesh, and therefore v'chaletz is v'lo misabemes. We're not going to believe the testimony ad kedei that we're going to allow her to do yibam, but she will require chalitza before she can marry out to the shuk. Nidali ben b'medina sayam. Let's say she goes without a child, and then she comes back and testifies, I had a child, v'yamra meis b'ni, v'akakach meis b'ali, and she says that first my son died, then my husband died, ne'mena, she's going to be believed. Again, because when she went to Medina Sayam, she was becheskas yibam, because she went without any kids. So she's the one who took herself out of yibam by saying that she had a child, but she's also believed to say that the child died, the child predeceased the husband, because she is testifying in a manner that's consistent with the original chazaka. Meis bali v'akachach meis b'ni. If she says that first my husband died, then my son died, ein ne'menes, then she's not believed. We assume that she's testifying just because she doesn't want to do yibam. However, but we do have to be choshesh a little bit for her testimony, and therefore v'chaletzas v'lom es yabemesh. She has to get chalitza, but she cannot get yibam. Nitan li yavam b'medina sayam. If she says that, not that I had a son in medina sayam, but that my husband had a brother in while I was in Medina Sayyam. So Amra Meis Bali Vakakach Meis Yabmi Vakakach Bali Nemenes, whether she says that the husband predeceased his brother or that the brother predeceased the husband, then she's believed. Why? Because the chazaka is that when she went to Medina Sayyam, there was no brother, and therefore she wasn't fit for Yibam. If she, her husband, and it's like a road trip, if she, her husband, and the Yavam went to Medina Sayyam, so Amra Meis Bali, and she said, my husband died, Vakakach Yavmi, Yavmi Vakakach Bali, Einan Emenes, she is not going to be believed to testify on the status of the Yavam, Sheinisha Nemenes Lomar Meis Yavmi, the woman is not allowed to believe to say that the Yavam died so that she could get married outside, because we're afraid that she's lying because she doesn't like the Yavam. She's not allowed to testify. She's not believed to testify, rather, that her sister got married so that she can marry her sister's husband, because again, a man is not allowed to marry his wife's sister unless the wife is dead. So she's not allowed to testify that her sister, the wife of the husband, is dead, so that she could then go marry her husband. And a man is not believed in order to testify that his brother died so that he could be able to do Yibum with his brother's wife. Nor is he believed to testify that his wife died so that he can marry her sister. Okay, because in all of these situations, we impute an ulterior motive to the testimony, therefore we're not going to believe it. Says the Gemara as follows. If a person is mezake get to his wife, in other words, he wants to give his wife a get so that she does not fall for yibam. So mahu. So what is the situation here? Kivan the sanyale, since she hates the yavam, zchus hula, receiving the get is a zchus, v'zachan adam shalobafanav, and therefore maybe zachan adam shalobafanav, and even though she's not there, the get is valid immediately once it's given to a shliach, because it's a schuz. Odilma, even the zimn and the rachmalei, maybe sometimes she does like the yavam. Chovula, not always does she hate the yavam, maybe sometimes she likes it, and therefore it's a chov, it's a chiyav in order to accept the get, and therefore it's not valid unless it's actually presented to her. Vein chavin l'adam shalob afanav. Samarlei, tanina, v'choshesh in l'dvera, v'choletzes v'lamas yabemes. So we see that we sort of take her seriously. We don't take her seriously enough to let her do yibam, but we also don't take her seriously enough to let her out with anything, so it's chaletzes b'lamas yamemes. Meaning, from the two cases in the Mishnah, we see sometimes the woman will testify in order to put herself in a situation of yibam. Sometimes a woman will testify in order to take herself out of a situation of yibam. So we don't know. So in other words, it's complicated. So we don't know whether receiving this get is going to be a chiyav for her or not. Similarly, Ravina LaRava, Mizaka get Lisha b'makam ketata mahu. If a person tries to be mezake get to his wife, not in his wife's presence, but we know that they have a terrible marriage. So what's the situation? Kivan this like tata bahadei zchus hula, since they have a terrible marriage anyway, maybe it's a zchus that she received the get, because what does she need to be locked in this terrible marriage for anyway? Adilma nicha dugufei adif, or maybe personal comfort is greater. In other words, there's some comfort that she has in remaining married, as blissless as the marriage may be. So Tashmad, Yomar Reish Lakesh, famous line, Tav Lametav Tandu Milametav Armalu, that it's better to be two bodies than it is to be alone. In other words, as miserable as a marriage may be, in the times of the Gemara, women preferred to be married above all. Abaya Amar Abaya illustrates this with a couple of examples. The Shumshamina Gavra Kursaya Be Charta Ramu, even if her husband is as short as an ant, the woman places her chair among the free women with husbands. In other words, that even though she's married to like a real unappealing guy, still she's able to, you know, puff out her chest and take pride in the fact that she's married. Rav Papa Amar, Denafsa Gavra, Tikri, Besife, Bava, Vatesiv, that even if her husband has a very ignominious profession, he combs wool, she still sits with him at the doorstep proudly, because she's married. Ravashi Amar Dekulsa Gavre Loboy Tilfechi Likdera, that if her husband is of tainted lineage, even if he is not a very good catch, she won't even demand lentils for a pot, meaning she won't be too demanding because she so appreciates the fact that she's married. Tana Vekula Mizanos Vatolos Babaleim. So the reason that they do all this, why do these women stay in these miserable relationships? It's just so that they can pretend that they're married, but it's so that they could go and they could be mezaneh They could be mezana with other people. In other words, they're not actually happy. Everybody is going to assume that they're married, and therefore it's easy for them to be mezana with other people. The Aruch Lener just explains here that these are four different types of bad situations, and nonetheless, in each of these types of situations, a woman would still prefer to be married. Number one is that they're kavlamet of tandu. In other words, that they're like two bodies. They don't have any emotional connection. In other words, where she's embarrassed of the way he looks because he's as short as an ant. In other words, where she's embarrassed about his profession because he's a wool comber, and another where it's because he has tainted lineage. And nonetheless, in all these cases, we still assume that the woman is going to prefer being married over being single. So that concludes the 15th perek. Tomorrow we'll begin the 16th perek of Maseches Yevamos. God willing, everybody have a great day.